OTB AM. With Gillette, your Mo supported our frontline workers this Movember.
David Miner, good morning to you. How are you keeping?
Good morning.
Liverpool suddenly have a big game tonight in a situation where that group was there and wrapped up, and we all know what happened. Obviously, they got beaten last time out by Atalanta. But they've kind of walked themselves into... Maybe they like this. Maybe they like a little bit of jeopardy in the last couple of rounds of the Champions League, and that's what he needs to get everybody fired up.
No, this certainly, obviously, the disappointing result against Atlanta opens the group up. Liverpool obviously being 2 points clear, the two of them. Obviously, they play Ajax tonight, who, you know, are in a good form in the league, albeit I know that they're very dominant in the Eredivisie over the last few years. But if they were to lose tonight, they play FC Michelin next, but if they were to lose, then, you know, you'd expect Atlanta to, you know, to beat them. And then it kind of just opens it all up a little bit. So it's an important game. And look, Jurgen is missing a lot of players, but they've got to somehow find a way to, you know, get 11 players on the pitch, kind of somewhat organised and get a result.
Yeah. What level of performance do you expect from Liverpool, having seen them over the last couple of games tonight?
There's just something special with Liverpool in the Champions League. So I still expect whatever team he decides to, you know, go with. Obviously, probably the big loss for them at the moment now would have been Milner, kind of that versatile player who could have played in a number of different positions. It's just a case of who's he going to play at right back tonight. Obviously, the young boy Nico Williams went off at halftime, so that would be an interesting call from him. But I still expect Liverpool to turn up. If you look even at the Brighton, I know they'll be disappointed with the way the game, you know, finished out, but for him to, you know, bring Salah off after the hour mark and then obviously bring Mane on, you expect, you know, two of them to start. He'll still have the firepower up top, so I'll still be expecting Liverpool to be all kind of, you know, guns blazing and get a result.
David, when you were playing the Premier League coming up against Champions League teams at the weekend, was there a noticeable fatigue about them that you kind of felt that they had played midweek as well, that they were closer to the red, as Liverpool officials have said themselves this week?
It's probably slightly different now with the way the games are, and, you know, obviously the fixtures are a lot more compact. They're kind of, it's almost a bit closer to the Championship in the sense of, like, you know, the Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, you know, and the intensity of the games. Because the Premier League, sometimes, you know, the Champions League games wouldn't be as, you know, frequent. They kind of play, you know, just before the internationals, and then there's kind of a break until, you know, the new year. At this moment, obviously with the pandemic and everything, the games kind of cramped in more. But certainly when you play the Champions League team away, when they were at home, you know, you didn't really notice that they were in the red. You know, they just keep the ball, they knock it round, and they have so much firepower and so many good players that they still make it very difficult. Of course, if you're at home, you do kind of fancy yourself. If you do, like, as we touched on the other day, I was on, you know, Saturday talking about the early kickoff, you do think, like, maybe we can catch them. Maybe they're tired from their long trip if they've been away, you know, in Russia or one of those countries. You did fancy yourselves.
It's funny.
That's, like, interesting.
Yeah, go on.
Well, it's just that point, like, I mean, that philosophy around actually being able to target a team in that position, because, say, going to Anfield in normal times or whatever like that, it's probably one of those games that you chalk down as a long shot of actually getting something from this game. But the way the fixtures pile up this year in particular, you definitely feel that they're in the shop window. And then on top of that, you've got the way Liverpool play, that it's such a high octane running style and a pressing style, that if they are closer to the red zone, there is going to be a noticeable drop off in their performance.
No, 100%. I think certainly with the way Liverpool play and the intensity that they try to bring to every game, that it's no surprise. Obviously, of course, if you looked at a couple of the injuries that they've had, whether it be Virgil's tackle, obviously Thiago, who Jurgen spoke about, is due back probably at the start of January. Joe Gomez, of course, was unfortunate when he was away with England. A lot of the other injuries have been muscle injuries, which will be from the intensity that Liverpool try and play with. So it's the hardest thing for them is, I know there you're talking about the red zone. I've heard this, you know, the green and the amber, how they rate the players on how much their loads are, how much they've done in training. But if you look at it, you know, they played Saturday morning, they'll have had a recovery day, you know, Sunday, where the whole team would have, you know, had a down day more or less. Monday, which yesterday they'll have done a tactical session. They wouldn't have done a lot on the pitch. So they're not getting much into the legs. It's just how quickly that body can recover. And, you know, for the fact that they're playing Ajax at home would be a big encouragement in the sense that, you know, this morning players would have been able to rest, you know, that they can stay in bed longer. And then, of course, you don't have that travelling over to Ajax. So they should be, you know, you'd expect them to be all right. You know, I'd expect them to still turn up, put in a good performance. They've still got a lot of very good players, but it'll be interesting.
The bit where you said, you know, obviously the Champions League, it's always special for Liverpool. Part of that is the fact that there's fans there. They haven't really missed that much of a beat without the fans so far. Mm. Is the music enough of an inspiration for them? The fact that they'll walk out and the Champions League anthem gets played, like, how do they signify in their own heads that this is different?
Look, that's kind of, you know, we often see, you know, pundits and whatever at the time, but you've got to be able to bring that intensity, that desire. I think certainly Liverpool have been able to do that. Of course, Anfield is, for any player going there, it's a special occasion because it's one of those unique stadiums in the world and it's one you look forward to. You know, I've played at Anfield many times where you just get kind of overwhelmed by the crowd, you know, the way the, you know, the players have played. I think it was James Milner spoke not so long ago how Liverpool have maintained that intensity at Anfield without the fans. Of course, European nights and, you know, at Anfield are special. But again, it's now become the norm without the fans that the players are used to it. So, you know, Liverpool, albeit, yeah, they've had a couple of off games where they've not performed well, but they'll still be able to bring that level of intensity. And I'm sure Jurgen will be drumming that into them, that if he can get a result tonight, I think if they get a, you know, if they get a point, then that should do them really. But, you know, then when it comes, if they were to get that result and they play FC Michelin next week, then he has the opportunity to rest players where he can then shift his squad around and give fellas that, you know, who are in the red, as they say, those, you know, added time to rest.
It does seem, David, that we're going to get something resembling a title race this year in the Premier League. Maybe that's optimistic thinking, but would Liverpool have seen much in the Chelsea-Spurs game on Sunday to give them cause for concern that they will have to go toe-to-toe all the way till the end of the season?
Well, I think you have to give them respect because they're you know, they're level on points. And I think, you know, Tottenham showed that with the result against Man City. Even to a degree, their performance against Chelsea showed their resilience that, you know, they weren't going to concede in the sense that, you know, we're going to be solid and we're going to try and nick one, which they did against City. But it's still early days, you know, there's 28 games left, so it's going to be a long season. I expect Liverpool will still be looking over their shoulders at Man City. I think Man City will still see themselves in it. Chelsea, of course, after that result, will fancy themselves to, you know, I think there will be probably 3-4 teams thinking, you know, we can win this. So it's going to be tough in the sense that, you know, you can't probably nail down one team. I still expect Liverpool and Man City to be 1-2, but you know, there's still a lot of football to be played. And if they don't get players back or able to, you know, Liverpool last season were obviously able to, you know, go on that massive run where they could, you know, pick up, you know, result after result after result. If they can't do that and they keep stop starting, then it's going to make it very difficult for them.
Hmm. And the interesting thing is that the other team, the only other team really who you could see putting in a run like that is Manchester City, as you say. That result on Saturday will have given them a lot of encouragement, the fact that they actually can go out and score 5 goals. They can do their regular results against Burnley on a regular Saturday afternoon. So how much is that going to be sustainable in your view over the next couple of weeks that actually the floodgates have now opened on this City season?
Well, I don't think City could have, for the level we've seen Man City over the last few years, maybe not so much last season, but certainly last Saturday against Burnley was kind of one of them where you thought, okay, Man City are back. Like they went, I don't know, it was 3-0 after, you know, 30, 40 minutes. And you know, everybody was just kind of like, okay, it's just Man City. Like they're just kind of doing what they do. They've not been fantastic. They've not been able to hit a level of consistency, you know, over the, you know, this season. So for them to put in a result like that, of course, you know, they play tonight. They're well through in their group. They're safe. So it's a chance for, you know, Pep Guardiola to rotate his side. Man City are probably the team at the moment who are still capable, you know, would be my favourites, and who are capable of putting together 6, 7, 8 games in a row of winning them. So, yeah, it's going to be so difficult, you know, for all the teams that, you know, City do have once they get kind of, you know, Aguero back, you know, fully fit and available, they do have a massive squad where they can afford to chop and change. I think that's been one of Pep's biggest problems, in my opinion, that he's rotated his squad so much that if you looked at Liverpool, Chelsea, Tottenham, Manchester United, you could more or less pick the 1 to 11. You kind of know what their strongest 11 is. With Man City, you don't. I think, you know, there's a case for Mahrez, of course, looking fantastic hat-trick at the weekend, but you've a case that you could start Bernardo Silva over him, and then, you know, you've got Sterling who's, but then even in midfield, it's kind of chopping and changes. You can never pick. Mm. They have so many good players, but you can't nail down a 1 to 11. And look, I play fantasy football and we always have this joke that you never know, you know, there's the Pep Guardiola rotation that just seems to knock you because you think such and such player is going to play, but then he just changes the team. So it is, they do have a unique squad and I've got a vast amount of talent, but what can they do, you know, to get that kind of established 1 to 11 that can kick into form and go on a run of wins?
It's going to be interesting to see.
Got screwed by Joao Cancelo this week. On a final point, that Kevin De Bruyne's position, David, this year, it has actually been, you talk about different combinations in that team, that has actually resulted in different roles for Kevin De Bruyne at times in that midfield. Did we see the best version of him and the best position for him finally on Saturday?
Look, I think wherever you play Kevin De Bruyne, look, he's a wonderful player. He's fantastic. His passing range is exceptional. The positions he picks up, you know, drifting off onto the wings, whipping balls in, his assists, you know, getting forward for goals, everything. I think if you played him as a holding midfielder, box-to-box midfielder, or a number 10, it wouldn't matter. You know, Kevin De Bruyne's impact on a game is unbelievable. So the further they can get him forward with that cover in midfield, the better, you know, the more chances they'll create. Certainly if Pep has players available, then, you know, you want Kevin De Bruyne further forward because of what he can do.
OTB AM with Gillette, your most supported our frontline workers this Movember.